In this episode, we're going to speak with Kelly Samardek and Catherine Simmons of the ASG team to learn how they're doing big things with a small marketing team right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everybody. We are here with Kelly and Catherine. Really excited to have you guys in our office today. And we're going to just kind of start by diving into your backgrounds, because I'd like to learn kind of how you got into marketing.
So I actually have a bachelor's in business, and the first school that I went to, they had launched this program for it was the first of its kind ever, and it was called Direct Response Marketing.
Ooh, that sounds exciting.
And it was a lot of learning how to be a list broker, and that was like not exciting at all. I wanted like the more creative side. I saw myself as being Amanda from Melrose Place. I wanted to be in advertising. I wanted to be in the boardroom, you know, having all these like clever and creative ideas. So I was really lucky to get an internship at IBM, where part of my internship was working with our creative agency in New York City. And that's where I got like more experience, understanding like the creative side of marketing. So I've always wanted to stay on that side. Not stay on that side, but incorporate that into my career. So I've had like a lot of different marketing roles as I, you know, went through my career. I've been on the agency side. I've turned out tons of social media for entertainment brands like A&E. And also I was on the trade side. So I wrote a column for a trade publication that focused on media marketing, advertising in New York City, called Media Post. Happy to shout them out. It was like a really fun, great experience, which exposed me to the other side, which was people who were like digitizing the way we consume media. And this is where like people were kind of learning how to monetize now their digital versions of their publications and all of that stuff.
Sure.
So then I kind of wanted to work on that side. I've also driven a refrigerated truck around South Beach full of microgreens because, you know, why not?
Well-rounded, yeah.
Take some risks in your life. And then coming to Cleveland, I've actually had five different roles when I moved to Cleveland because I wanted to figure out how I fit into, you know, the Cleveland ecosystem. I wanted to work in Cleveland for Cleveland. I was at GCP for a bit. I loved working at GCP. Greater Cleveland Partnership. I'm sure you know what that is.
Basically our Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, yeah. And you guys are very active members in COSY still.
Yeah.
And everyone loves Flex Media. And actually, at every role that I've had in Cleveland, I've worked with you guys to some level. So with video creation, mostly video and interview, you know, production, stuff like that. And it's always been great work. But yeah, now I just kind of had this like feeling that the next place I wanted to go was like, I was like, manufacturing is so, it's exciting. That's something that's like totally in transition. And so I had one manufacturing role that actually led to where I am now, which is ASG. And it's kind of funny, like I just, marketing is such a weird giant umbrella. You could be so many different people under that umbrella. And the kids today are taking classes using marketing technology. Like they're taking courses in the technology that we haven't even really been to able to explore yet. Cause you know, you're doing the work and you know, you want to evaluate that stuff, but like they're literally taking these classes. They're not learning to be a list broker and how to like get the women's health magazine subscription list. They're actually like building things with technology. And I just, it's such a different environment than when I first entered it.
Yeah. It's one of those industries. It's constantly changing as you know, people consume information in different ways. So, well, that was great to learn more about your background. Thank you for going through that. And Catherine, I would love to learn about yours.
Yeah, so my background started in like 2008 when I watched What Women Want. And I watched, was that Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
I think it was Mel Gibson, where he was in an advertising firm. And I was like, this looks, I want to be Helen Hunt in this movie. She looks so freaking cool. I'm like, I want to do that. And then I thought, yeah, I don't really know how you make any money at that. That didn't seem like a clear path to me. So instead I thought, you know, I'm just going to go to law school. Because I think that's what I want to do. And I went to pre-law. I barely passed, barely got my bachelor's degree. And then I said, like, I did work study in libraries in college. So I just moved back to Ohio and started working in libraries. And I thought, I think maybe I do want to do marketing, actually. So I went back and got my master's degree and have kind of been working in marketing ever since. So my career in marketing has been a lot shorter than Kelly's. At this point, I think I'm at like year four. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. My college experience was pretty different than Kelly's, but still it was not like learning these new like tech situations that kids are learning now.
Kids these days. I mean, we still used abacuses in my when I was in college. Just to, like,
really?
Do you know what an abacus is?
Kinda.
So tell it. That's another podcast. Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about, you know, ASG and you know, what your marketing team kind of looks like. What does the company look like? Like, tell me about your current positions and how you kind of work together.
We sell high-end electric screwdrivers for manufacturing. We also provide automation solutions that can be fully customizable. So when you're thinking automation, it's robotics, you know, how to make some of like the unsafe, repetitive tasks without little human interaction or without human interaction at all. And I mean, it's really cool. Who doesn't want to work with robots? And also, you know, we have a really loyal customer base for, we have this system called the X-Pack, which is an exceptional system of tools with a controller that you can program and it collects data. And we're going to launch in like the next year, the next gen version of that. So it's a really exciting time to be part of ASG. ASG itself is a division of Jergens, which is certainly probably more well-known, but now that Catherine and I are on the ASG team, you'll probably hear about ASG more.
Yeah, that's the goal, right?
But Jergens has been in Cleveland since like 1942, and I think that's the right year. Just very well-respected. Jack Schron is very active in the community too.
So that's really fascinating. I know Jergens has a really rich history, and actually Jack Schron was on a podcast. Rust Belt Recruiting has a podcast that he was on. They talked all about the company's history. So that's probably worth, if anyone's interested in Jergens, to check out. But I guess like keeping this kind of marketing focused and where we are like with, you know, your guys' marketing team, can you tell us a little bit about your marketing team at ASG?
Yes. So this is it. This is us. We're the marketing team.
The whole thing. Yep. Everybody here. The whole thing. The gang's all here.
I'd say you guys also. You're like an extended part of the marketing team for sure. And we do have a lot of responsibilities. We, the ASG is very involved in trade shows. And I think that's typical of the manufacturing industry. People want to, they want to touch, they want to feel, they want to experience the different tools. They like the noise and the largeness of robots. And I mean, who doesn't? It's, I mean, the trade shows are really cool. So there's a lot that goes into trade shows. We have about a mix of nine large and small shows a year, all over the country and also worldwide. And it's a lot of work, especially from the logistics standpoint. And also we just completed a really big project this year. We redesigned the booth. So it was really exciting to have the support to actually do that also. And it looks amazing, you know, just to position the company as forward thinking and approachable and clean and bright. And these are things that people talk about with like manufacturing 4.0. And you know, just that clean, open, bright situation. So trade shows are huge. We also have website parentheses websites that we're redesigning. And I'm saying we, but Catherine has really taken the lead on the website redesign. We've had like a corporate site and an e-commerce site. And we're redesigning it to be just a one-site experience so that it's obviously the user experience, the customer experience is huge. That's, we want people to not be confused and find what they need from us and be able to reach out to us with what they might need if they, you know, have more questions. And we've been working with a vendor. I hate saying vendor because it just makes them sound like, you know, not real
or
people.
Like a machine.
Vizia Marketing has been our partner with that project. And we also, I mean, obviously email marketing and social and
search engine marketing search as well.
Yes. Search engine marketing and making sure SEO is always, you know, tip top, stuff like that. But luckily we do have, you know, there's two of us, but like I even just mentioned all these other players basically, is that we do have the support to work with other partners so that we're kind of like, we have our extended marketing team.
Yeah, to extend the reach of like what we're capable of doing within, you know, 80 hours a week combined. Yeah, it definitely helps having that support.
It's impressive because like when you think about it, like from a two-person team perspective, like you guys are handling, like you were just saying, like you're doing website design, SEO, you're doing social media marketing, doing trade show marketing, like all different types of inbound marketing. I'm sure you guys do like outbound. I'm sure, are you guys doing like any print marketing, like mailers and things of that nature?
So no, and I'm glad I haven't had to fight that fight, because everywhere I've worked, that's always like, send a postcard. Well, you know, especially after COVID, you never knew where people's offices were anymore. Now, I think in manufacturing, it's different because locations didn't really change. And I also need to shout out also that everything that we do put out that's facing the world, how we present ASG to our customers and prospects, the new graphic design is, I work with Taylor DePlacido. We work with Taylor DePlacido, who's an amazing graphic designer. And I mean, literally everything that looks fantastic, it's her fault. So I definitely need to shout her out. But I would say print, in terms of print work that we do, it's more on-site channels at shows. So we'll have, you know, if a show has a program, you know, we advertise in the program. If they have like a tour guide, you know, we put print in there. But otherwise, it's very digital. I mean, that's kind of how people interact with the world anymore. I mean, QR codes instead of catalogs when we're at the shows and stuff, which is, again, great to not have to fight that fight. It's amazing, and that's just what people are doing now.
That was a great overview of what you're trying to do, and that's a lot of different things. So, you know, what are some of the challenges you encounter in your marketing team and your efforts?
I feel like one of the big challenges that I face, and probably both of us, is sort of stepping into this manufacturing role and learning all of these product lines. And then we're communicating to, we're running a B2B business. So we're communicating with engineers and people who really understand the industry and the products that they're looking for. So trying to find a way to market those in a way that we know we're communicating the appropriate benefits. So we just have to work with our sales team and our engineers and get that information from them and then rework that into a way that is more personable for someone reading it for a customer. So that's one of the big challenges that I face, especially trying to redesign an e-commerce and corporate website. You're trying to make sure that all the product data is accurate, but also that it's engaging and interesting to look at and read.
To Catherine's credit, though, I mean, I would say like even like 3 weeks in, she was already like speaking the language. So to even be able to ask an engineer or sales using the language that they use and like speaking about the tools and the products that we sell. So it's kind of like a respectful thing, like a sign of respect. And I just feel like you really learned a lot of stuff very quickly. It's hard because think about how many different, I mean, there's so many different products and it can be a challenge. I would say too, just time in general is a challenge. There are so many huge projects that we want to jump into. I mean, even like the next phases of the website, or, you know, I'm thinking about the brand. I'm always thinking about the brand and, you know, different ways that we could, like, it's time. Time is a huge thing. But again, we have really great support, and something that warms my cold black heart is when I see our division leader reply to an email that someone has a request and he says, you know what, they're working on these big priorities right now, let's talk about this in the next quarter. So shout out to Neil. Seeing something like that and having that support is just really, really helpful, because a lot of times things aren't as urgent as someone else might feel that they are. I also think that with those challenges, everyone else has the same time crunches. So the way to, like, you know, the way that we, and I think that the full company does this really well, is kind of more of like an open communication. So, you know, the person making the request might think, oh, this is fine, I'm going to ask them, you know, for this help right now, and they can probably get to it. All you have to do is like treat somebody like a human and say, like, look, I'm working on this, this, and this. Can this wait till whenever? And a lot of times they're like, oh my gosh, yes. In fact, that's a March thing. Like, don't even worry about it. And sometimes they're like, honestly, this is really something that's like impacting my entire like mental health. It needs to be done. And we're really flexible. Catherine's super flexible. And that's something that I've actually seen a lot at the company, is that flexibility. So just like really actually talking about it instead of stewing and just, you know, figuring out what people really need. But yeah, it's those are the challenges.
Yeah, I think actually you made like a really great point though about the flexibility required, because that's completely true. It's like so much more is possible when you can be flexible as to like prioritizing what's needed right now versus what's needed in 6 months. So when you see your inbox flooded with requests, it's kind of overwhelming. But if you're able to communicate with your team about like, hey, is can some of this wait? And then a lot of times it can, it makes it a lot easier to tackle what's super important in that moment.
I think when you're early in your career, if you don't have somebody that's like a mentor to you or a good manager who will even tell you, it's actually okay to ask the other person, like, how important is this? Like, without being like, well, what's the deadline? You know, like, actually have a human conversation. Your life can be made a lot harder if you don't have that guidance. Mm-hmm. And I've been really lucky to have some really great managers in my life that have, like, guided me in that direction. Because that's so hard, especially as, like, a younger person in a field. And it's, yeah, so... And then you find out that people are like more than willing to tell you it's like everything is fine. I should also say that one of the challenges is the fact that it's B2B, and that traditional paths that you see a lot of engagement with or response from, like email marketing, you know, I think I've bought so many different lotions just because I got so hammered in the face with like an email from like a brand that I enjoy. It's different than... kind of our audience. So we don't see a ton of engagement with emails. In fact, unless they're expecting it, so like a trade show follow-up email, zero unsubscribes. But a random, you know, coming out with something that isn't a price change, that isn't a new product announcement, that isn't a promotion update, I'll see like 26 unsubscribes. I'm not ashamed to say it. Because, I mean, let's be honest, it's like people want to be communicated to with what they really need. And what do they need? They need to know what's happening with pricing. They need to know if there's promotions they can take advantage of. Actually, it's not that they don't care what trade shows we're going to be at, but if we're not speaking to the right people, those people don't really care. So, which also leads to the other challenge that we're working with a database that's been touched by 7 marketers before us. So that's another project that I'm really excited to get into, is to like get in there and like... tag it the way we want to, segment things the way we want to, do a re-engagement campaign, find out what people really want to hear from us so that we are actually communicating via email to people with what they want at the right time.
At the right time. That's what I'm saying.
Marketing.
There we go.
So I guess it's really interesting to hear all these different challenges that you guys have. I know a lot of it, especially with time, I feel like is definitely a challenge for like small teams, big teams, solo teams, whatever it may be. But have you guys found any solutions? Like, are there any software or tools that you kind of have been able to utilize to help with these challenges?
I started using ChatGPT really badly, actually. But I think like now sort of like gotten to a place where like ChatGPT can be really helpful. But initially I was like, ChatGPT could probably write my LinkedIn post. I think that's probably fine. And so I submitted a bunch of these to Kelly and was like, here's my LinkedIn post for the month. And she was like, these are terrible. I'm like, really? You think they're bad? And she was like, did you write these? These are so bad. And I'm like, no, I had ChatGPT write them. And she was like, that's why they're awful. You need to prompt ChatGPT better. So then I started prompting ChatGPT differently. And now I don't tell her when I use it. And I don't think she knows, because we've gotten a little bit better at it. But yeah, sometimes.
I always know.
No, you don't.
I do. I always know. I always know. But it's fine. Because also now I'm like, I don't have time to look at all the social posts ahead of time. And so our lives are so much better now.
Have you tried like utilizing, just out of curiosity, like, and I don't know, it was on there the other day and now it's like gone again, but have you tried using like the AI like tool inside of LinkedIn for like post writing? Like you can like feed it, like as long as you feed it 20 words or more and tell it what you're trying to say, it'll like rewrite the post for you.
I have not used that, but that might be the next thing to try out.
It was there and I was like all pumped about it. And then I went to go use it like a day ago and I'm like, I'm going to have this thing write this for me and then I'll edit it. And then I'm like, and it's gone.
Yeah.
We're going to have a challenge now that I'm going to give you like 30 posts and like 5 of them are going to be written by ChatGPT.
I can't be tested. I fail all the time. I'm like, as soon as I know I'm being tested, I'm like, but I don't know.
What about for the actual social media posting? Because, I mean, are you scheduling anything or do you do that live every day?
Oh, no, it's all scheduled. We use Hootsuite for all of ours. So then we're able to go in and schedule. And then it also, you can select times that are optimized for when your audience is most active. And so that's how I schedule all of our posts. Almost never am I actually on the social media platform. to schedule or post anything, always through Hootsuite, because it's just easier that way.
Yeah.
Do you, like, now that you're going through this big website build, are you guys using anything to, like, I guess, like, manage, like, your SEO to, like, keep an eye on it? Are you using, like, Google Analytics or using, like, SEMrush or anything like that?
We use Google Analytics. So we just are in the midst of transferring from the Google Analytics to GA4. So I don't have anything insightful to say about GA4 at this point because it's so new and we mm-hmm. just haven't really gotten into it yet. But, yeah, we are in the process of moving over to that. And then SEO, we use Google Search Console to see where SEO and like SERP where we're at with those, in addition to just using like a plugin on our website.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And really, when we look at our current e-commerce stats too, like our SEO is on point. Like it's our search is our number one generator of revenue.
Yep.
So what people are looking for, they see. We serve it to them. I would like to say just about ChatGPT, and I tried doing some generative AI with, because Photoshop has it as part of their thing, and but I'm a weirdo, so I'm like, dragon chasing cats through ASG cafeteria, like I was just trying to make it like way more fun.
Yeah.
It wasn't as fun as I wanted it to be, but with ChatGPT, I feel like at first it's the same thing where people were like, I can have this like generate something for me. A lot of times it would just generate things like super cheesy at first. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great way if you are just like, it's 4 o'clock and you have to get like this list of that you want to turn into a blog post and like just get it into some sort of a shape and your brain is just like feeding it into ChatGPT and saying like, here is the content.
Mm-hmm.
Make it listicle form and make it sound like whatever. And you will have to touch whatever. I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything new because people have done podcasts about AI well before me. But like you can get that thing it spits out and then tomorrow you can edit it with a fresh brain. And it's like, that is always so helpful. And I mean, that's, you know, it's like having a assistant, but it's only as dumb or as smart as you make it because it's pulling information from the internet. And we know that what's on the internet is really not that great half the time.
It can save you a couple steps, but it still needs that human touch at the end.
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Beginning and end.
I know I found like where I found it most helpful, at least for me, is like writing, sales emails or like writing like emails, like replying to people. Like I'll write everything out and then I like feed it to it. And then I'm like, if it's sales, like I follow Jeffrey Gittimer cause he like does a lot of like sales and stuff like that. And I'm like, I was like, take this email that I wrote, and I'm like, can you think or can you act like Jeffrey Gittimer and write this in a sales message that would be enticing to, you know, XYZ? Mm-hmm. And it does a real good job, and it explains to you like the like type of like information it's using from him. Like I just did something yesterday where I'm trying to work on some website copy, and like before I give it to Kathy, and I'm like, can you think like Donald Miller and use story brand principles and lay out this like text that I've created for the website. And it's like been really good at like just like reshaping things to like make it seem a little bit more, you know, like professional.
One of our HR staff took a course on AI and it, one of the things that they noted in the course was that the roles that it can be the most dangerous for are marketing and was it legal? Maybe it was marketing and HR, but because of the potential plagiarizing or, you know, like misrepresentation. So that, again, why you need that human element because, you know, it's like I could say, you know, write like Peter Benchley and have a shark attack, I don't know, whatever. How do you know it's not plagiarizing Rumpelstiltskin or whoever you had mentioned?
Well, that's why you have to go back through for sure. But like, that's what I was at the All in the Tech Day, like where they had like the AI. And that was a big question because like people went up to like the keynote and they were like, so I want to start using AI. And like they were talking about like using it for photos, like photo AI, video AI. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know, and the big thing that's been going on with all these like different stock companies like hitting them with lawsuits because they're finding out they're indexing, you know, social media or indexing their websites and like feeding it in. Or they had like the woman who designed Doctor Strange. They used her art without her permission. So she sued and they had to remove her from the index. So like his whole thing was like and this is going back to like the marketing and even the sales stuff, like people want to like create this content using AI, but then he was basically like, don't, because you don't know if it's plagiarizing, like, you know, if that photo is copyright and it's using it or that video. And he was like, and if you're a company, you don't want to like bet like that on, you know, that like, oh, well, I got it from, you know, this website. So to that point, it's good. good point. Yeah.
And I love artists. I love graphic designers. I want to use a human being that has, you know, understands color theory and balance and all of that. Like that's who I can't imagine replacing any of my visual, mm-hmm. The visual media with, you know, AI at all. In terms of things that we use to make life easier sometimes, are we still part of that question?
We are. Yeah. We're right in there.
Oh, good. that Canva is really great in a pinch. If you need to get something blown out, like Catherine's really great with Canva. And like I said, I love to use our graphic designer. And you need a graphic designer to give you the elements that you can use in something like Canva. But talk about, and their commercials are really amazing right now, too. Their advertising is incredible. Because it is like the user experience with Canva and being able to, you know, create short videos and, you know, a little tiny demo, whatever, especially if you were a company of one, then that is a great tool. And I've, you know, put together things even just in my personal life, like weird birthday cards and not birthday cards to myself from my cat, invitations or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, Canva is something that we definitely have used.
You need to check out the Adobe just had like their big like keynote a couple weeks ago where they like revealed like all the new features and they were talking about Adobe Express and like the woman who was like demoing Adobe Express, she was like, I'm making this birthday card. And I don't know the person's name was like Jeanette or something like that. I don't know. Some like, it was like a human being's name. And she was like, and this is the card for Jeanette. And then she was like, okay, now I'm going to make a quick change to it. She's like, what you all don't know is Jeanette is a cat. And Jeanette and I watch space movies because she doesn't care for them much, but I don't really care. And like, so she like did this whole thing where she like had Adobe Express use like its internal AI to like create like a cat in a space suit. And like, so
whenever these like major companies, like remember when, you know, Apple released something new, like the new iPhone and all the stuff you could do with it. Facebook would have their like, what was it called? F4 Summit? I don't remember. It's fine. But it looked like you could do all of these like crazy, amazing things immediately, like off the bat. And I'd be like waiting, you know, for the download. And then really you could just like use an emoji or whatever. But like Adobe Express, these are things I wish I would just love to play with all the time. How can I have a full-time job and then also get paid to just like mess around with new technology? I feel like that would be fun.
You have to work for Adobe.
Can't have another full-time job. I mean, the job I have right now, keep this job and then also be paid to mess around with new technology.
I love my job so much. I will never leave.
Well, that is hard. That's been my challenge with AI too, is like, I know in the long run, like this will save me time. So it's worth like, I think like taking a little bit of time to like experiment with new tools. Like even like with Canva, you know, talking about using that, you know, for more, I think of it more as like DIY design. Like maybe you have a really great graphic designer, but you really are just putting together a social media post and you don't want to bother them and you need it like now, you know, and you just want to put together something quickly. I think that, you know, it's worth sometimes spending a little bit of extra time to try to learn something that'll save you time in the end. But that's easier said than done. I think that's definitely a challenge.
Does everybody know what steakums are? Do we all know what steakums are?
Like the snack?
Like lunch? They're like a frozen beef product that you could basically make a variation of like a Philly cheesesteak with. So I was just on the internets the other day in my personal time, and I'm scrolling on TikTok, and I see something that says deep steaks from Steakums. And I'm like, what in the world is this? And what they did was they brought a whole bunch of vegan folks in and had them try these new vegan cheese steaks. And they have the people talk about how important veganism is to them and how much they, you know, they just, how important it is, just how much is a part of them being vegan. So then they try these vegan cheesesteaks and then they get these AI bots to create some deep steaks where they make all of these vegan folks say how much they love meat. And so like they're like manipulating the footage of them eating these vegan cheesesteaks and they're like, I love meat. Meat is the future. And then they show the vegans these videos of them talking about how much they love meat, and they really upset these people because they're like, I didn't say that. And they're like, well, there we have the footage. It's right here. You said that you love to eat meat and how much you love Steakums. And then the video ends and it's just called Deep Steaks instead of Deep Fakes. Yeah. So I have a proposal for them that I think they should instead go with Fakeums.
The rolls off the tongue a little better.
It's the end of the story.
But I also need to know what their plan was for that. Like, what was their ultimate goal for that other than traumatizing vegans?
Yeah.
Is it vegans or vegans?
Oh, it's vegans.
Yeah.
Depends on where you're from.
I've heard vegans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Pagan Vegan was like one of my favorite plays in high school. No, I don't know. Sorry. but yeah, it was like traumatizing vegans. And were the vegan Steakums actually vegan?
They were.
Okay,
they were.
At least they're not that immoral.
Yeah, no, because that would have been disgusting.
Or unethical.
Yeah.
And then, is it to show how powerful generative video or AI?
It sounds like maybe they're just playing off of a current trend to get, now we all have Steakums on our mind.
Yeah.
I did not wake up with Steakums on my mind this morning.
I
would have fallen asleep without it too. But yeah.
I'm going to eat a cheesesteak later.
Maybe and, as simple as that.
Yep. Yeah.
The Fakeums worked. Also, I'm going to go to GoDaddy and buy Fakeums.com.
Oh, you should.
You better do it before this goes live.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I mean, just
if you beat me to it.
But I feel like this, also though, I just think about the marketing aspect of that. Because you figure Steakums has to have a pretty decent sized marketing team and PR team. So I just want to be who is in that meeting? I got this great idea.
I always
we're going that. To yeah. give vegans vegan cheesesteak, but then we're going to use AI and manipulate it so it's meat, and then we're going to show it to them.
This was who's even has Steakums released a commercial in my lifetime?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And now all of a sudden they just come out of nowhere, out of just left field with this?
And then if they hit TikTok, they're big time. Next there's going to be a fake, what is it called? A steak fake? Steak?
Deep steaks.
There's going to be a deep steak dance, some sort of coordinated deep steak dance.
Going back to a point that we had talked about before the podcast, you mentioned that, social media isn't just for your customers, it's also for your employees. And I thought that was a really, really important point because, employees are seeing your posts as well and interacting, especially if you have people, all over the country or global teams. So I thought that was a great consideration.
We have great support from our global teams too. And honestly, our local team, the Cleveland headquarters, they do a lot to do employee engagement stuff. And that also plays really well. If there's an ice cream truck or we have carnival outside, just showing the fun culture side of the company. I think also our worldwide team likes to see that too. And often they'll share a lot of that or comment. And sometimes not even employees, current employees, it's past employees that are looking good, chat. Being able to still engage with the company after they're no longer there. Mm-hmm. And then, longtime customers and distributors, people who have known some of these people at the company, because it's a company that has seen a lot of longevity with their employees. Stuff like that, resonates with them really well. And then, we also have to sell on it. So we share things product announcements and promotions and stuff like that. So
yeah, if you're not posting things that excite your employees, how could you expect other people who don't know or care about your brand to be excited about it? Mm-hmm. So having things that your employees find interesting, and even if initially they're the only people engaging in it, creating that atmosphere on social to have that conversation is only going to encourage more of that. So I've always thought that keep posting stuff that even if the only people right now that care about it is the employees, at least somebody does. Mm-hmm. And then it can grow from there.
Mm-hmm. And to that amazing point, anytime, especially on LinkedIn, where you don't even see what people are actually posting that you follow, you're seeing what they interact with. Mm-hmm. Yep. Your feed is literally what other people are reacting on. And so if employees are this is funny or this is insightful or I like this and I repost this, they're reaching the rest of their network with that. And a lot of times, especially if it's our sales guys or our manufacturing reps or distributors, that's going to hit exact networks that we want to hit. Mm-hmm. So, just being able to, give people and employees, customers, a pleasurable experience with our social, that's the goal, because you're not going to interact with something that you're meh, whatever.
Yeah, then there's also sort of the curated aspect of with the content strategy. Sometimes, yes, it's selling, but other times it's meant to feel organic. When you're scrolling in your Facebook feed, every time you're scrolling on social, you get maybe three posts that are from people that you follow, and then next thing you get's an ad. And I don't ever want our social to fall into that like bucket that feels like an ad. So if you can have it, you know, when you're scrolling on your phone that like, oh yeah, this feels like a piece of content I would have interacted with, even if it hadn't just like been sponsored or whatever, then like that helps to create that engagement and also just like the trust that people are used to seeing that type of content from us. So that's been the other piece of the content strategy on social.
And using our other channels. So like, you've done a couple of really great blog posts that are then converted into obviously like short social posts, and they're educational. And so that just, it all just goes into like the circle of life of, you know, all of the different types of marketing channels being interconnected. And the educational stuff is great for SEO, and, you know, people want to, that's also what really does appeal to the audience too, is learning more about why they would want that thing. How does that help me? How does that make my, you know, production line more efficient? How does this keep my employees safe? Stuff like that. That's what they want to hear about. So content, content, content.
Seems to be the theme.
It does. And it's like that everywhere.
Speaking of content, besides social media, I also wanted to bring up video content, because obviously we worked a lot with you at different positions with different kinds of video. And, you know, it seems like you've always had a good understanding of like where video can be a good opportunity in your marketing efforts. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, just some of the maybe different ways that you've used video throughout your career in marketing, and, you know, how have you seen it work for you?
We were really excited to have this content created with you guys for where we are at ASG, because we really wanted to see some really high quality content, especially on our new website. We didn't want to post some of the stuff that was a little bit older. I mean, we're not going to get rid of it, but at the same time, we wanted to see something more polished where we could really show what the products are about. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to talk about an electric screwdriver and how you can use that on your assembly line only in text. And when you can see something working, it just clicks like, oh, okay. Like now I understand what we've been talking about. There was things that I didn't even understand what they were talking about until we did those videos and I saw them and I'm like, oh, that's what they mean when they say the 99 parameters. I didn't know what that meant. But when you see it visually, it's just a lot easier to understand. I mean, also there's just a super, it's super important to like incorporate different types of information. So we can write that a million times and we can show it in photos and we can show it in videos. And then that way, whatever type of learner or person you are, and however you like to consume information, we have that there for you. And you don't have to go, oh, well, I don't like to read, so I don't want to read this. There's the video. And so that's been a big part of that, like trying to incorporate every type of like however we can get this information to you, we want you to get it. We definitely wanted our new website to be really B2B focused, and we understand that B2B buyers are looking to get more information than a typical consumer, because they probably have somebody they report to that they have to send this to, and they have to justify why they spent this money in their budget. And so they need all of the information about how and why to buy a product. And so we didn't want any consumer to come to our website and go, I don't know how to justify this cost to my boss. Here it is. And that's easy to send to somebody. All of the information is right there laid out in that video content.
Yeah, and we've also already used the videos that you guys have created on the trade show booth. So having this new design booth where it's bright and we have light boxes and stuff, to have, you know, giant monitors where we took a bunch of the hero videos that you created and looped them, and, you know, people who, and they faced the aisles, so they're on the aisle side of the storage giant columns. And so people walking by who, some, not everybody wants to engage immediately at a trade show. So to be able to walk by and, you know, hit people's eyeballs with some great, you know, motion and showing our robots and the screwdrivers in action, like, it's so important. I feel something like, not just in manufacturing, but especially in manufacturing, you want to see the thing in action. Throughout my career, having those person on the street interviews are really important, because it's not just me or the president or this, you know, sales director saying something about the product. It is the people who use it, and the product could be education or a service. It really doesn't matter. It's the person who uses it, who consumes it, that's saying like, this is what, how it's impacted me and how this program has impacted me and all that. So like, I've always, you know, loved that information that you've put together, like producing those
like a customer testimonial type thing.
Yes, testimonial, and then, you know, like sizzle reels, you know, all of that stuff. Like, I feel like people, it gives people, it's a different energy. Mm-hmm. You can create a lot of emotion with a visual medium like video. So, I mean, super powerful. That's something that's, you know, never going to go away.
I definitely think the testimonials, like, that's like one of my favorite things that we produce, because I think like the end user really gets a lot out of it from being able to like really empathize and be like, oh, I have that problem. Mm-hmm. Like, this person, like, that can solve my problem too.
Let's say you have a compilation video, you went to a conference and you get those person on the street interviews, you have those people. Now, if there's eight people in that video, you've got one video, one piece of media that can go eight different ways. You know, because the person that sees themselves, people love to see themselves, mm-hmm. Or hear their names, or, you know, it's just like natural. And you're like, oh my gosh, like, I was just in this. I'm going to share this with this. So then that's like your brand is out that way. Your brand is out that way. It's it's everywhere. And it's mutually beneficial to who's in the video and to yourself, which is great.
And so just to kind of encompass, you know, we talked about the different ways that you've used videos, and what we did with you at ASG, but I kind of wanted to just summarize. It sounds like a lot, but we really were only on site a couple of days to capture footage, and we made a couple product videos with a voiceover, so no interviews. It was really like filming on the, on the floor and a voiceover, and then we broke those videos down into shorter clips that you used on social media, and then we also used footage from that you guys could have, you know, non-audio, just at the top of your new website, so hero video footage. And then I also love how you thought about, you know, around these trade shows, you were doing a happy hour, and then also at the booth, we provide some B-roll for that. And so, you know, out of just a one shoot in a couple of days, you were able to get a lot of content out of it. So I just kind of wanted to touch on how that was, you know, you really maximized what you got.
Yes. And also, like, having your team there was, your setup was quick. It was very, like, to us, very, like, non-intrusive. You got in there, just were shooting, I mean, all day long. One day I didn't even give anyone lunch. It was that special.
But like, one day we waited like an hour and a half and for Panera Bread.
Oh Lord, once I almost like ate my own hand waiting for the lunch. But but yeah, it was like a really seamless, smooth experience. The team is so great to work with. And yeah, I mean, we're going to be using those videos for a long time and a bunch of different places. Every trade show is going to have that USB stick with it that's going to go in the monitors. So you'll be in Anaheim soon. You might be in Monterey, Mexico. We have a show in Nashville in April. We have a show is Automate in Chicago? I think so. Anyway, there's like, it's going to be at every show, the work that you guys have done. And it's so appreciated. And yeah, it's great. We love working with you guys.
It's really, it's all Hunter, really. That's
we love Hunter.
He is the best. I can't tell you like how many times I've like talked about Hunter and his business card, because he was so excited to show off his new business card that you just like tap on a phone. I have no need to have Hunter's contact information. I think he knew that, but he just came up to me and was like, do you want my phone number? And I was like, what? And he goes, I got a new business card. I'm like, then absolutely, I do want your phone number. I'm sure it's still in my phone.
He's great.
Well, thanks so much, though, for like joining us today and like telling us kind of about your marketing team and the strategies you guys are using and your challenges. I think it's helpful. I really appreciate the shout out on the video stuff. You know, we love working with you guys. Kelly, we've worked with you now from like a few different places. So I feel like anytime I get to work with you, it's a joy. And then now we get to work with Catherine. It's awesome.
Well, thank you both so much again. And thanks to everyone for watching. Catch us in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.